God's been good. You know, I've been experiencing things in my life in the last few months that only old people went through. And Dave and I was just talking this morning about people say, "How you doing?" Well, do you say fine and lie, or do you say not very good and sound like a whiner? We agreed I'm tired of that. In that song, God's been so good. How can we get through things in our lives without God, without the knowledge of knowing that there is better days ahead? I say that to people and they'll look dumbfounded, like, "You mean next week?" No, I mean eternity in heaven. In the presence of the Lord, we won't be saying, "Tink's still not feeling well. My blood pressure's still high. The cardiologist called." You know, words just old people had. It's widespread. And you hear that over and over and over. But the point being is about, the word to me is about the word stand has been prominent in my heart, in my mind for a few weeks now. And then how it meshes with the topics today. I've heard scriptures already spoken today that God had laid on my heart. Our Sunday school lesson falls right in line. God puts it all together. We know that. Thinking about the chili cook-off last night, you know, we had a good time. We did. And in today's world, with you can only have a good time if you got a beer in your hand or a needle in your arm, or you can be carrying on in un-Christian-like ways. But I saw the local body of Christ gathered together in the name of Jesus last night to bring glory and honor to our Heavenly Father last night, and had a good time about it. Agreed? Okay, so when the body of Christ is unified, the body of Christ has come together, the body of Christ is proclaiming God as creator, and everything that we are doing is not to promote me, it's not to promote Drift Run Church, it's not to promote anything but the love of Jesus to those that will hear and listen. It was a witness yesterday to the community. It is a witness to each other. I saw the body of Christ stand in unity last night. Another example of standing in unity we witnessed here this morning. How many times have we been doing that over the last few weeks? Gathering up here to pray for a particular specific topic, person, whatever it might be. And do we do that because we have rabbit's foot in our pockets and we hope that? No, we have confidence in God hearing our prayers. We standing up here in holy obedience, bringing our petitions to our Heavenly Father as we were told to do in the Word of God. That's how we know to do that. That's why we gather together and stand. Okay, so that's what's key in my mind right now. If you look around the world, you look around our country, you look around what's going on everywhere, the world is pushing us to take a stand somewhere for something. Okay? The body of Christ has got to stand united. Now, I'm getting right down to this, folks. The body of Christ has got to stand united. We'll talk about where our foundation that we stand upon. We'll talk about a few minutes, just a little bit, of what is going on to try to divide, to make you stand over there and you stand over there. And you. I could get three of us together, any three, right now, get three of us together, and we could find that common ground to stand upon. But we could find three things we differ on very much so. So the bottom line of my point here this morning is, where do you stand? Ask yourself that today. Where do you stand? I'm going to read. I heard this saying a time back. It says, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for everything. You know, that's pretty common. Boy, doesn't that make sense? Doesn't that make sense in this crazy world we live in, that if we don't stand for something, we'll fall for anything? So we've heard already this morning about the standard of God in the flesh is Jesus Christ. That is the standard. So that is the point where we should stand. Agreed? Agreed? Amen. That is the bottom line to each and everything, is where we stand is on Jesus Christ. All these other places to stand will not compare to standing on Jesus Christ. We only have those other ones because of this one. Without this one, there is no other ones. If you go over there and stand on that and call that your standard and you'll get nowhere. You stand here on the foundation of Jesus Christ. Let's read Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. And you'll recognize that. It's pretty common. It's pretty powerful. And we know it's the armor, but the point is not the armor itself. It's the standing. It's the standard by which we have the armor to protect. Is that stand where we are standing. If y'all would, those who can, and the older you get, the more you understand those that may not be able to stand. You do. And the point is the standing is maybe the physical thing, but it is being rock solid, firm on your foundation. Whether you got to sit in a chair or not, you can stand on that foundation of Jesus Christ. And that's where we got to be. Whew, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of whose might? Whose might? His might. Put on the whole armor of whom? Of God. That ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You see that word stand? And it's not necessarily being able to stand vertically, but it's to be able to stand solidly. Like he said, our heart to stand solidly on the foundation of the Lord. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to what? To stand. And that is being firm. I looked that up in the Strong's, and that is just to mean firm, solid, persevere, long standing, long suffering, stand put, not wavering. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth, and having the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. They're raining arrows down on the body of Christ right now. Satan is trying to disrupt, destroy, and defeat the local church. We've got to stand on the Word of God and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication of all saints. Let us pray. Lord, we again are gathered here this morning, Lord. We just lift your name up. Proclaim you as God and Creator, the giver of life, the source of all hope. We pray right now for your guiding on this service here this morning, Lord. We pray for those that are sick and grieved this day. We pray for those that are going through the experience of losing a loved one. We just pray for your comfort and peace to fall upon the body of Christ right here and now, and that your Spirit will stir the hearts of those that are lost and maybe don't know you this morning, Lord God. We cry out to you one more time. Move upon their hearts. We pray for those that would love to be in here today and can't. We just ask you to visit with them, comfort them, lift them up. Be with the ones having babies today, Lord God. What a miraculous miracle of God that is. Just bless that family, or all those families that's going on. Heal bodies. And I praise you this morning, and I thank you again for your love and your mercy and your goodness and your standard that you sent down to die on the cross for our sins. I thank you, Lord God. I pray again for your guidance here this morning. In these favors we ask in Christ's name, and amen. Amen. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Today's world is pushing us to take a stand for something. We've talked about that. But all I see is pushing division. I'm going to talk just a few minutes. We're going to talk about where Jesus stands. Now, we know He is our standard. If you've heard John 3:16, you know that we must be saved through Jesus Christ. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Period. Agreed? Okay. There we are. So, I'm going to start out in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Very familiar scripture. He says, this is Jesus talking. This is Jesus, God in the flesh, talking, saying, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And I think about that. What door is he talking about? He's talking about your door. He's talking about your door. He's talking about your door. He's not talking about their door. He's talking about yours. We got to recognize that's whom Jesus is. He wants you. He wants in. He wants to come and sup with you. He's knocking. And I read meters, and we got to go around, and I call them gift cards, but we got to give out envelopes that sometimes they're green and sometimes they're orange. I don't know why. I told them, I said, that's because the green ones mean, would you kindly pay your bill so we don't have to come back and shut your water off? And then when they sent out the orange ones, it was like, oh, you better pay your bill. We're going to cut your water off. So, we give them out, and then if in a few days we don't, we'll get another letter. And it'll say, we're here to shut your water off, but I'm required to knock on the door. And I'll knock, and I make myself give them 10 whacks twice. To try to be fair, oh, I didn't hear the door knock. You know how people are. You know how we are. We just, it's always somebody else's fault. But I'll hear, oh, or I'll hear the dog bark and they'll say, quiet down, and won't come to the door. And if they would come to the door, and they'll say, well, I'll go pay it here in a little bit. Well, we'll call, and if they can get an agreement or if they ain't took advantage of the city, because they are good trying to help folks. Really, they are. But anyways, I'll say, well, I'll wait. We'll go do something else and then come back. But no, they just won't come to the door. Jesus is knocking on our doors. If you're here lost this morning, he's knocking on your door. Maybe if you're a Christian here this morning and maybe trying to hide a little bit or a little backslid or whatever you might be, he don't quit knocking on your door. So that's where Jesus stands. He says, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, what's going to happen? I will come into him. This is Jesus. This is God in the flesh saying to you, Miss Patty, you open that door and I'm going to come in. I'm not going to come in and cut your water off. I'm going to come in, not going to come in and browbeat you for missing church. I'm not going to come in and say you ain't worth a hoot no more. I'm going to come in and say I love you. I gave my life for you. I want to sup with you. I want to share the word of God with you. I want to hug on you. I want to pray with you. That's where Jesus stands. He's not there to divide. He's not there to discourage. He's there to encourage. Acts 7:55. You'll recognize this too. Acts, Romans. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. Chapter 7. 55 says, and this is about Stephen. We know about Stephen when he was preaching the gospel, when he was standing firm. But listen to what he says. When they take him to the edge of town to stone him, and when they heard these things, verse 54, when they heard these things, that was the Pharisees, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, Stephen, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God and said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. There's our standard, folks. The world is slinging arrows at us. We'll stand there. He could have bowed his head and flopped down on the floor and whined and cried and carried on and said, oh, woe is me. I'm being destroyed for standing up for the Lord. They're beating me. They're abusing me. I feel so bad and alone. But no, No, he stood and he looked into heaven. He didn't look any place that we can't look. He looked into heaven, and who was there? Jesus. Jesus was standing on the right hand of the Father. That's our foundation, folks. That's where we need to stand. Okay. Now, I'm going to talk about us a little bit. Places we might be standing. Let's go to Revelation 14, verse 10. You've heard this before. It's familiar to us. Romans 4, read 10 through 12. No, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Romans 14, I'm going to read verses 10 through 12. And it says, but why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall stand, he's talking to the Christian congregation here, we shall all stand before whom? The judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, we've heard this morning, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. So that's talking about the Christians will be standing in front of the judgment seat of Christ. And we saw that in the Sunday school lesson in verse 529. It says the resurrection of life. That's the Christian resurrection. And I'm going to also read 2 Corinthians 5:10, which says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether good or bad. And there's a note out beside of that. It's called the Bema seat. But that is the judgment of Christ. Now, did we hear earlier about God giving the responsibility of judgment all to Jesus? We did hear that, right? And why did God give all that responsibility to Jesus? Because he is the standard. Right? Okay. So there you are, Christian. You're going to be standing in the presence of Jesus. He's going to be judging you on what you've done with your called purpose, what you've done with your responsibility as a Christian. Huh? Where do you stand on that? Do you stand with Christ? Or you stand over here and let everybody else do your purpose? Yeah, I'm putting the finger right at Christians because there's a lot of slackers. Hey, I've been one right here. So don't think old Jamie's up there saying, looking down his nose at anybody. Do you want to do better for the Lord? Start right now. Make a commitment right now that I'm going to stand for Jesus. And it's like, oh, okay, I'm comfortable here in my pew. I'm with loved ones. Yeah, I'll do that. Make that decision right now. And then stick with it when you're going up the road thinking, well, next week I'm going to start going to church. Every service next week. You know who's going to be slinging darts at you already? We've done talked about that. Make a stand. Make a commitment. I would tell my youngins when they were growing up, going through that time in life when we know more than our parents, when we are smarter than God, and we pay attention to different different things beside our head and make poor decisions. I said, Mandy, Bill, make these decisions right now while you're sitting here at the couch at the house. Say, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to drink that. I'm not going to smoke that. Just say it. And then when you're in that crowd of other people caught up in the heat of the moment and you get to carrying on, you have already made that decision. You're not sitting there thinking, well, what should I do? Christian, if you're standing in the Walmart line, tell somebody Jesus loves them. That's the standard. Jesus died on the cross for you. Jesus gave all he had for you so that you might have life and have it abundantly. We've got to make that stand. Right now, today. We got to start today. We don't have time for division. We don't have time for arguing. We don't have time for differences of opinion. The bottom line is the standard of Jesus Christ. None of that other stuff matters without Jesus Christ. Man, if he'd give me a heart attack right now, I'd go to heaven. Woo! Praise the Lord. Thank him for his goodness and his mercy. Thank him for his promises that lie right here. Jesus is the standard by which we got to stay focused as the local body of Christ. Woo! Amen. Give me one of them, Ken. Oh, that's it. I can't do it. Now we're going to talk about where the lost is going to stand. And if you're hearing this lost, and you're lost, I hope it scares you. I hope it rocks you to your core. I remember it moved me to realize this. Revelation. Oh, goodness. Revelation chapter 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. Small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the book, according to their works. Do we realize everything is recorded we've ever done? Everything. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Does that sound like a place you want to be? If you are not saved, you are standing in that very place right now. Right now, you're standing waiting to be cast. But God doesn't have them books open to show him. He has them open to show you that you failed. That each and every one of us is failures. So, where's Jesus involved in this situation right here? You've heard it referred to as the Lamb's Book of Life. And who is the Lamb? Who is the Lamb? Who is the Lamb? Jesus. And Jesus is the standard. So if you're lost, I hope that scared you. I hope that stirs your heart. Well, Jamie, that's mean. Oh, yeah. Mean is not telling you the gospel of Jesus Christ. Mean is lying to you. Mean is tickling your ears. Mean is standing up here and telling you what you might want to hear or whatever, telling you, oh, you're doing great, man. You just keep it up. You know, give a little more, but you're okay. You know, give me a Wednesday night once a month, and we'll call it good. No, your heart. Give your heart fully and completely over to God through Jesus Christ. How can I move from standing at the white throne judgment? I'm scared, Jamie. I don't want to be there. How do I do that? How do I move? How do I get from to where I'm standing at the judgment seat of Christ? Let me tell you. I'll be done here in a minute. Let me tell you. Romans 10, 9 through 13. And that was already been brought up this morning. Amen. That's no coincidence. That is the topic of today's service, is to learn where we stand, to help us gain our footing on solid ground, and to know how we can stand with Jesus. Romans 10, 9 through 13. Listen to me. If you're the one that discovered today or realized today that I'm standing at the white throne, listen, you still have a chance. You still have a chance. The resurrection of the dead has not been called in your life yet. Okay? You've not passed on to the point of no return. You have an opportunity right now to be saved. You have an opportunity right now to proclaim Jesus as your Savior, and here it is. He says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Remember the beggar, or the guy was wanting healed all them years? He didn't realize that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. Do you confess Jesus as who he is? Do you confess him this day that he died on the cross for your sins? Do you? These are things that the standard is built upon. We must be firm on the foundation that Jesus is the Son of God, that Jesus is born of a virgin, conceived by the Holy Spirit. That's that foundation right here. That's that one right here whereby our feet has got to be planted, that we've all got to agree on and be on that page. He lived a perfect life, tempted just as you and me. Do you believe that? I remember thinking, oh, it would have been easy to have been a Christian back then. Really? Boy, I fell for that lie. It would not. But Jesus fulfilled everything. He was that perfect lamb without spot or blemish. He could shed the perfect blood that was required for salvation. I'm about done, young man. I won't be much longer. About out of air. Do you believe that God raised Jesus from the dead? We got to believe he was not just a great prophet, a great teacher, a great anything. He was God in the flesh. He overcame death, hell, and the grave, and he ascended. Do you believe he ascended? Do you believe he's on the right hand of the Father? Do you believe he's standing right where Stephen saw him when he looked into heaven? Do you believe that? That's that foundation. That's that standard by which we've got to stand upon. For with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. You remember when you didn't understand the difference between a heart and a heart? I did. When I was little, it was like, that's that thing that pumps, right? That's our motor. That's our core. But to understand the heart of man is not a physical thing. The heart of man is a place where only you and God can go. And do you believe fully in that place? It's between you and God. Ask yourself here this morning, are you fully committed in your heart? Not something you got to convince me of, but something God will know. God can see right in there, can't he, Dave? He knows right where. Do you believe deep in your heart right now that Jesus is the Son of God? And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. That's a spoken word. If you're ashamed of him, you won't say it. So that goes right back to what the inside will come out. So then you need to start questioning, do I really believe that Jesus is the Son of God? I believe, I'm going to say it out loud, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that he died on the cross for my sins and your sins. I believe he's the one that was standing at that door knocking. He said, hey, Jamie, man, I love you, buddy. I love you. Just open that door. Just open that door. And I'm inviting anybody here this morning. The Lord is knocking on their door here this morning. Open that door. Open that door. And he will come in and sup with you. And you can have a personal relationship with God Almighty himself through the precious blood of the Lamb. And the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Amen. He said, Paul says, if you must boast, boast on the things of God. For there is no difference between Jew and Greek. For the Lord, the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon his name. There's no bias in God. There's no division in God. That grace is not for this group, but not that group. That grace is for all. That we might have life and have it abundantly. That is the standard where which we got to stand. For whosoever, is that limited to anything? Only God can comprehend whosoever. And yet, he sent that grace out there for whomsoever. Not just this bunch, not just that bunch, but for whosoever shall call upon in the name of the Lord shall be saved. Glory, hallelujah, this morning. Thank God for his love and his mercy and his goodness. Belinda, you want to come and get a song? And if your heart has been stirred at all this morning, be obedient to the moving of the Lord in your life. Respond to the moving of the Lord in your life. Appreciate, think about that, the moving of the Creator of all things moving in your life. I pray your doors open today. And I pray you understand the message today is the foundation of Jesus Christ. There is no division in the foundation of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Amen.